Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is Thursday, the 2nd of October now. I can tell you I saw a young fella setting off fireworks down a lane in Dublin last night. I saw a bat flying around eating midges around by the sea. And then we had Baron Brack smothered in butter by the time it got dark before 8 o'clock. So I'm fully inducted into the vibes of October now. I trust you are too. The WhatsApp is usculture 0870 32 32 32. And for your longer emails, letters and emails, Oliver at RTE.ie. We have a hell of a show for you now this morning. John Boyne is with us in studio. He's a massive best-selling author. He's an incredible writer. The Elements is the new book. It compiles all the four novellas he's published over the past year or two, different perspectives of abuse. So it's quite serious, but it's a scintillating read. It really is. And it connects all these kind of stories into one thread. And it is an amazing achievement because the characters, some of them are very flawed. Some are survivors. Some are terrifying. And I think it's some of his best work yet. And this is the man who's already given us The Heart's Invisible Furies and The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. The Elements, it's out in the US as well. And he's just won a massive prize in France. The novel of the year, beating off the French writers. I think the first Irish novelist to do so. They love him in France. And yet there's been controversy too over the summer in Britain and online. John Boyne, he's a magnet for the turmoil online, isn't it? We'll go into it all because John is never a dull interviewee. 51551 is the text. But this morning, we're going to begin with a Tipperary woman that the country absolutely adores. You'll know this woman came hurtling into her life in the mixed 4x400 metres relay at the 2024 European Athletics Championships in Rome. It was June of last year. Christopher O'Donnell, Rashida Edeleke was there, Thomas Barr, and then in the final stretch, this woman, Charlene Maudsley. Here is Greg Allen.
Femke Paul in the final lap will have a very, very serious task to run down Charlene Maudsley. So now it's Belgium leading. The gold medal is on for Ireland, by the way. A medal is certainly on because they're in second place. That stands to reason. Femke Paul has a 7-metre gap to the bronze medal. She has a 10-metre gap to Charlene Maudsley. And Maudsley has proved in that world relays in the Bahamas that she can run neck and neck with Femke Paul. Femke Paul is not running down this top three. So now can Charlene Maudsley get the better of Hélène Ponet of Belgium? And I think she can. She has a tremendous finish, Charlene Maudsley. She is strength, she is elegance, she has got a lot going for her. Hélène Ponet is not as quick as Charlene Maudsley. Just hold your nerve, she's holding your nerve. This is wonderful from Charlene Maudsley. She is such a proficient relay runner, proving it with a gold medal for Ireland.
Yes,
a huge national record, obliterating the previous record.
Oh my God, That gets you pumped of a Thursday morning. Live from Tipperary, where else would she be? Charlene Maudsley, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
We're in really good form. That was an amazing summer for us. I hope it was for you too. I'm sure it was, even though the Olympics came afterwards and maybe you have different memories than the rest of us.
No, honestly, like I still get goosebumps even hearing that. Great. I think Greg just, you know, sold it so well. It was just, if how he described it was exactly how I felt in those moments. So yeah, it was so special. Like even hearing it back now, I feel the same sense of pride that I did that day.
Lovely. That's lovely to hear. Come here, athletes. You don't get much rest. You're only just back from World Championships in Tokyo.
Yeah, just back from Worlds and I'm on my off season now. So I have about another month off before the season kicks off again for 2026. So It is kind of all go, but I'm definitely appreciating my off time right now.
Your off time, do you continue training? Do you get to relax? What happens in off time?
No, just literally do nothing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, literally nothing.
You wouldn't be good at that.
I'm so good at that. You would be so surprised.
What's do nothing for Charlene Maudsley?
Literally nothing, like go for breakfast this morning, like, yeah, just shut off completely. Now I have to walk my dog, so I'm a dog mother, so that's the only form of exercise I'm having right now.
What's the dog called?
Lola.
Lola, and what kind of dog is Lola?
A cockapoo.
Have you walked Lola already?
Yeah, of course. Oh, this morning? No, it's raining outside. Lola's suffering on.
The storm is coming. They're very needy. Exactly. Very needy creatures, aren't they?
Yeah, I feel like I'm a literal parent.
So much has happened to you since those European Championships. You had the Olympics, and that was an excruciating day for you. I mean, you had turned 26 just that day, hadn't you? And the country was roaring, standing on its feet in the last lap of the women's 4x400 metres final. Mm-hmm. What are your memories of that now? Because it was agonising, but we were amazed that you were there at all.
Yeah, I suppose fourth is always the worst place to come. You know, like you get a medal for first, second and third and you get a certificate for fourth. So it's not really the same bling that you're bringing home. But like when I reflect on it, it is really special. Like I think the nicest part for me was after the race finished, my parents were both there and I got to go over to them. And, you know, when you're having a bad day and your parents are there, everything just feels that little bit easier. So I remember my mom saying how proud she was. And, you know, my dad, they were just so, so thrilled that we were there and in the final. And yeah, I had ran the fastest I'd ever ran that day. So, you know, my mom was trying to tell me everything was fine and that it was good. But yeah, obviously it did hurt at the time. But looking back on it now, like I'm proud of myself. And I think it made me hungrier going forward as well.
And that's a beautiful memory to have with your parents, isn't it? Paris of last year. The greatest moment really in your life at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so special. Like you'll never forget those days.
Sadly, your father is no longer here and our sincere condolences to you. He died very suddenly, mm-hmm. only in June.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a hard year and, you know, obviously we're still grieving him, missing him every day. But, you know, when you do have memories like that to look back on, it is really special. And, you know, those are the good times that you have to bring forward. So, yeah, I'm trying to stay strong for me, for my family. And yeah, I think we're all, you know, under that same impression of reliving all the great memories that we have with him. So, yeah.
I mean, you've stayed incredibly strong because you've kept busy and you've kept running and competing. Your dad was Thomas. He was known as Tucker, was he?
Yeah, he had many names, Tom, Tucker, Tommy, like, but Tucker was his main one, yeah.
You delivered a eulogy and you would not have expected it to be made public or that it would go public, but it was very lovely. You were talking about him as a creature of habit. He was a Man United fan, like the same seat and all the things we think about dads. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, literally. And I could say he was my biggest supporter, but I think he even tops being Man U's biggest supporter. Yeah, very, very proud of Man United. Well, I would say proud over the last few years, but he still stayed a loyal fan. So that will tell you the kind of person he was.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Thomas and your mum, Louise, they've been there mm-hmm. for all down the years, haven't they? Bringing you across the border to UL for the training early mornings.
Yeah, like they would be the ones to sit in the car for 2 and 3 hours, you know, while I was training. Just always kind of like, we're going to give me every chance I had to be a successful athlete. And, you know, even when I didn't know that was what I wanted, they would still let me be there, like still, you know, showing up every day and just let me believe that my dreams were never too big. Yeah.
How was it? Because you haven't had that long to get used to being massively famous and on the world stage for Ireland. Having to deal with grief so publicly at a young age, that adds a bit of extra layer of toughness, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, your family don't ask to be in that kind of life. So obviously it is hard, but the support that we received was, you know, so, so nice. And obviously so lovely to hear people say such lovely things about him as well. You know, it did kind of make it easier. But yeah, it definitely was hard, like, you know, when you're trying to grieve someone literally at their funeral. And, you know, it does go out there that the eulogy you've just read is now online for everyone to see. That is kind of hard. And it's, you know, hard for my family to see that as well. But yeah, I think generally we had a lot of support. So you try not to, you know, take it too harshly or anything.
You're very tough because you managed to keep going, keep training. How did you get to the World Championships with all that happening in your life?
Oh, I don't know. When earlier in the year, I had kind of stopped, pull out of all my races, and the European team champs, you can only have one person go per event. And I had said that I wouldn't do it. And so therefore my teammate Sophie Becker got in the lane and she ended up getting injured. And Paul McNamara, the director of Athletics Ireland, ended up messaging me. He said, look, I don't want to give up your lane just in case Sophie's pulled out. So I said I'd come back to you, but there's zero pressure. And then I was saying it to my mom and she was like, that's a sign that you have to do it. So yeah, that was kind of dusting myself back off and going again. And I think it was the best thing for me. And, you know, it was also a distraction for all of my family as well, because we got to tune into that for the summer. So
yeah,
it was kind of, it was a distraction, because you would go to training and, you know, you just have a session to complete and you're kind of thinking about that at the time. So like, although you never stop thinking about him, at the same time, running was a bit of a distraction.
You made the semi-finals of the 400 metres. I mean, that's incredible.
That was like making the final for me. I think just after the year I had, it was, you know, just a special moment, because we had kind of fell short in the relays. They didn't go according to plan this year. So it was nice that the individual kind of went through and I got to the semi-finals. And, you know, hopefully, you know, things get better from here and next year will be a better year again. You know, we have those European Championships again, so that will be really exciting.
And of course, not getting to the relay, Rashida Adeleke wasn't there. She decided to skip Tokyo for various reasons. You supported her in that.
Yeah, I do. I think as athletes, it's so hard, like, because you're kind of out there to be, you know, judged in a way. So Rashida not going, then obviously the whole country knows she's not going. And, you know, she has her own reasons for that. And it is tough already, like, to not be able to go to a World Championships when she'd come fourth at the Olympics. It's so hard to then, you know, take such an absence from the World Championships when she came from being in such good shape. So of course I support her, and I would hope that anyone would support me if I had had chose to do the same thing.
Absolutely. Camille, you're a very proud Tipperary family, and you had a good summer after all the heartache. Tipperary upsetting the Rebels in the hurling final. It's extra special for you, isn't it? Because you're one half of a sporting superpower couple in the Premier County. Mikey Breen, he's the cornerback for Tip, and he did an incredible final.
He did, yeah. No, it was, honestly, it was so, so great. I went in with no expectations to this year, because to me, Tip didn't have a great year last year. So anything that they had done this year was a bonus. So yeah, I guess it was kind of hard going to the All-Ireland final, because, you know, they played Cork a few times that year and obviously they weren't the best days to walk away from. But yeah, they pulled it out of the bag that day. They just, it was amazing to watch. And the sense of pride that the county has for hurling is just second to none. So yeah, it was really special to be involved in it.
And especially at halftime, Tip are what, 6 points down? Kind of the Cork people were floating around the place. It was some,
I know,
fun.
It was crazy. And like, I wouldn't say my knowledge of hurling is 10 out of 10, but I'm definitely getting there. But yeah, for me, the first half was very hard watch. And I thought, you know, it was going to be one of those sad days. But how they pulled it back in the second half, I have no idea. But yeah, fair play to them.
And Mikey, the love in your life, he had an unbelievable final. He's now nominated for an All-Star because of his performance in the final. And I think he was marking Patrick Horgan.
Yeah, so I get to wear a fancy dress. That's all I know.
We saw some fun moments that you had online after while celebrating Tip won the Lee McCarthy.
Oh, stop.
The person posting it says it was 6 a.m. What is happening in this video for anyone who hasn't seen it?
Yeah, it's as good as, I guess, that you can see is what I can see. I remember someone saying that, I bet I beat you in a race. And I thought, absolutely not. And I remember Mikey saying, you're absolutely not doing this. You're going to get injured. And then I, of course, was like, I absolutely am now that you told me no. So, yeah, thank God I won. That was the main thing.
That's you just running. The person who posted says it's 6 o'clock in the morning, as I say. And that's you, international athlete, sprinting up a road in an estate in Tipperary. There are also claims that that's Boogie O'Mara attempting to race you.
Yeah, no, it was.
Former Tip hurler.
At the time, I didn't know. My competitiveness just got the better of me. And, you know, no matter who was going to ask me to race that day, I was going to say yes.
There's no denying that it's you in the video because the speed takes off.
My strength and conditioning coach, Martina, had messaged me after and she was like, I'm not impressed that you're in your bare feet, but I'm impressed with your execution. So
it was your bare feet.
I take it as a win-win. Yeah.
I actually praised you. I love that. Oh my God. So Mikey was giving out to you for not doing it. Do you train together, by the way, since you're two athletes?
Honestly, yeah, we do sometimes. In case you're wondering why Mikey has got so fast this year, it's obviously because of me. No, but yeah, we do. Like, he's helped me out in a lot of my sessions this year. And, you know, even on all the hard days after my dad, like, had passed away, he was at the track every day because obviously he was training for the All-Ireland. So he wouldn't do many of my sessions with me at that time, but he'd be there with the video or, you know, whether it was the stopwatch or anything. So the support I had for him was really special as well.
That's therapy, isn't it? For sure. Mm-hmm. We saw in the photos from Tokyo, again, this is the Worlds just a few weeks ago, you were using a slither during the during the warm-ups. That is putting tip on the world stage.
You get away with nothing anymore. Like, I think I would have used the slither for many years, and a lot of the athletes do, but because I was using it, it was the next thing. But no, honestly, I recommend it to a friend.
For rolling out calves? That's the idea.
For anything. Yeah, any knots. Yeah.
It just has that kind of the edge to it, doesn't it?
It has the edges. Yeah, that's what I would say.
That night out, I'd say after that'll be your last night out now for some time. But I presume now in your off time, you'll be able to let your hair down.
I'm on my off season now, so I can enjoy myself. But no races on the streets. I've been warned off of that.
You went on holidays with Mikey as well. He's a master's. He's a teacher, isn't he? In CBS.
He is.
Clonmel.
Yeah.
But he's a master's.
No, he actually just moved to Nina. Yeah.
Oh, has he? He's gone to Nina. Okay.
Yeah.
He's a master's degree in food science. Now the images online are very questionable. How he eats his sushi.
Yeah, typical tip man, knife and fork. No other way to do it, he says.
Is it a nuisance having a food science guru in your life?
No, not at all. Like, he's so chill, so like nothing really phases him, but he kind of just rolls with the punches. So no, I would say he's very good. Just accepts the fork with the sushi.
The slagging was intense that day. So when you're off season, you're not really thinking about, are you, the next thing? Because the LA Olympics are mentioned every time we think about you. Do you focus on that? Do you think about that? There must be some other nearer goal.
It's always in the back of your mind, you know, like, because you're in a cycle now. So, you know, it's 3 years to the Olympics and, you know, there's always something like 2027 is going to be the year where you qualify. And obviously you have to put in a good foundation in 2026 to get to that year in 2027. Yeah. It's all numbers really. But yeah, no, like, I focus on Europeans next year. That's on the 10th of August to the 16th. So it'll be really nice in Birmingham. You know, my family will be able to come over. My friends will be able to be there. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to. It feels like it's literally a home championship. So that will be really nice because, you know, Tokyo was far away. Like, not many people got to come over. But still, at the same time, we had great Irish support there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Birmingham, I think, would be really special. And obviously, we'll be going in as defending champions for that mixed relay. And we won a medal with the women. So we'll obviously want to be going in and doing the same thing again.
The work that you put in is unbelievable. You're living in Tip. Tell us where you're training.
Yeah, so I train in Tip, train a bit in Limerick, and then my coach is from London. So I go to and fro from there. So yeah, this year it will be a little bit more, obviously. Last season was a bit up and down with traveling and stuff. But yeah, I'm really excited to get going. I'm going to head over to London in the next week to see my coach and just, yeah, look forward to the next season and see how it's going to go.
Is that very tough for you? Do you hate the travel, the commute?
Honestly, now it's a lot easier because I'm the brand ambassador of Shannon Airport, which is really great. So literally Shannon Airport's on my doorstep. So to get from there, it's obviously the easiest airport in the world to go through. And yeah, next thing I'm in London. So that's going to be, you know, the best thing for me this year. And I think it'll just make it a lot easier. So being able to do that will be key.
From Newport to London. You're the face of Shannon Airport.
Yeah, very cool.
very cool. And your public image is very glamorous and stylish. When you're in the training now, in the throes of it, does it remain totally glamorous?
No, absolutely not. That's when I'm like crying my eyes out and puking on the side. But yeah, when we go out into the track, it's lovely that we get to show that glamorous side because, you know, if I am like on a weekend when I don't have training, I like to look nice, you know, do my hair, do my makeup. So yeah, I guess it's kind of like, it's kind of brings our nerves down when we're getting ready for a race that we're doing our hair, doing our makeup. It's a distraction really. And you know, we always say with the girls, it's like a look good, feel good, run fast.
you really do lift our mood, I have to say. And I hope you enjoy your time off, Charlene. It's well deserved.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I definitely will.
We're shouting for you every way. We'll enjoy All Stars night as well. That's in November.
And, I will
try not to stay up too late if Mikey wins the All-Star don't go for a run.
Well, no guarantees of who I'll race that night.
Look good, feel good, run fast. That's our motto from now on. Charlene Maudsley, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Safe travels.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.